Welcome to Free Talk Live, the live Sunday edition of the program. Of course, you can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've also got Skype, and the Skype username is lrn.fm. Joining you in the studio here tonight, it's Ian,
Johnny Ray,
and Mark.
Of course, we invite you to bring up anything that happens to be on your mind. You can take control of the airwaves. That's the point here of Free Talk Live on the Post Pork Fest, the Post Porcupine Freedom Festival Sunday, where inevitably our local libertarian meetup is usually the biggest of the year, and today was no exception. We had a solid more than a dozen people attending. It was very nice. We got, of course, libertarians who are migrating here. There's this, what did you call it, Mark? The New Hampshire Freedom Migration?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been going on for a while. There's different migrations that are active here. And it's at this time of the year that people are coming up here for freedom festivals that happen up in Rogers Campground. And that and one of those festivals just let out for this year. So welcome to anybody who might happen to be visiting New Hampshire. If you're still planning a visit, there's a gentleman here who came up from Arizona, and he didn't even go to those freedom festivals. He just, you know, just came up and wanted to meet some folks. So great opportunity to meet people who care about freedom and liberty so much that they picked up their lives and they've moved physically to a new place, that place being New Hampshire. That's what the three of us have done here, Ian, Johnny Ray, and Mark in the studio. We've been here for a while, though. Johnny Ray, you moved in, what, 08?
That's right.
Mark and I moved in 06, and we've been doing Free Talk Live from here ever since. So you're welcome to join us. Last night, I promised I was going to play the audio from the Philando Castile shooting. Johnny, are you familiar at all with the Philando Castile case?
Sure. He was with his girlfriend in the car. He announced to the officer that he had a handgun.
Yep.
And
a three-year-old child, apparently.
And I think as he was going to... I don't know what happened. I just know that he announced, and he was... and the officer who pulled him over killed him in a hail of bullets.
Sure did. We played a little clip of it last night, but I wanted to play the whole thing just so you can get an idea for kind of the scope, how long the situation takes to unfold, which is not very long at all. You've got a situation where Minnesota cop pulls over this gentleman, Philando Castile, in a white car for ostensibly having a burnout brake light. I'll pick up this video right as the officer approaches the driver's side window, and then we'll just let you hear what happens.
Well, sir.
Good. How are you?
Good.
Reason I pulled you over, your brake lights are out, so you only have one active brake light, and that's going to be your passenger side one. Your third brake light, which is up here on top, and then this one back here, is going to be out. You have your license and insurance?
Pretty standard stop so far. Pretty common for police to, claim.
I have to tell you, I do have a firearm.
Okay.
On me.
Okay. Now it's going to get real bad, real fast here. It's pretty common for police to claim that you had a brake light out as an excuse to pull over, let's say, a young male who might be driving in a bad neighborhood.
Did you look at the video and see whether or not the brake lights are out? I mean, that's worth your claim here. I mean, his brake lights could very well be out. I don't know.
It's hard to tell.
Okay.
It's hard to tell from the video. Anyway, Philando says...
Let's not just a whole bunch of conjecture isn't necessary.
Well, no, I said it's not uncommon, Mark, and it's not uncommon for the police to make up reasons to pull people over whom they suspect, let's say, might have just put a joint out in the ashtray or something like that, or they, want to go on a little fishing expedition just to see what they can see. Maybe if they approach the car, they are expecting to see a roach in the ashtray or perhaps an empty beer bottle on the floor to give them the excuse to further escalate that situation. And if you want to deny that is something that police do, then you can deny it. But I don't think you're going to deny that, are you, Mark?
I'm not. Yeah. I just think that it's...
I'm not saying they're doing it in this case.
Yeah,
I can't tell from the video.
It sounded like, based on the police officer Yanez's sort of somewhat elaborate explanation about the lights, that I think one of the individual bulbs in his taillight apparatus was out, but maybe some of the others were functioning. So he had a little bit of red light coming out, but it was a little dimmer than it should have been.
Okay, because that explains why it appears as though both lights are on, but yeah, I can agree with you, the one on the driver's side might be a little dimmer. So anyway, going on here, Philando then informs the officer, as you have to, as I understand it, in many states with concealed carry permits, you have to inform if you are being talked to by a police officer in a custodial situation. I don't know if it applies on just a contact, meaning like if you are being detained. That's a question that maybe somebody out there who lives in one of these states where this is required could inform us. Do you have to inform a police officer that you're carrying concealed anytime they speak to you? Like if they just stop you on the street and say, "Nice weather, huh?" To try to start some sort of conversation, which sometimes police will do, just, you know, to sort of, again, go on a fishing expedition. Or is it only if they've pulled you over or have detained you in some way? I don't know. That's my question. If you've got an answer, you can dial in toll-free at 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. But Philando says, "I have to tell you that I am carrying a concealed weapon." And then we continue.
There's no duty to inform in Minnesota.
Really?
According to a quick look at concealednation.org.
Interesting. So Philando didn't, according to you, Philando did not have to say this. He could have just left it alone.
Yeah, the difficulty is that you don't know necessarily what's going on in what particular state. In Michigan, yes. Minnesota, no.
I think wasn't he from this area? Was he not? I don't know.
That doesn't mean you necessarily know the laws.
Generally, a concealed carry holder is more likely to know what those laws
indeed,
are.
Indeed, certainly.
They tend to be the law-abiding types, dotting every I, crossing every T. But let's go on here. So he informs the officer.
"I do have a firearm on me.
So hold on just a second. Notice how he says, okay. Before the
cop saying
even,
that, yeah.
Before he even has a chance to say firearm.
Yeah.
I want to let you know, okay.
Well, that's weird, isn't it?
It's like he's not getting the opportunity to even speak.
That's a great point.
I would be feeling like, what exactly is going on with you, man? Why are you...
why are you rushing this? What's going on?
Okaying me before I've even finished a simple sentence.
Right.
And that's just weird to me
about
this
recording.
That's
an interesting observation. Yeah, I didn't notice that.
Don't pull it out.
So he says, don't reach for it then. Don't pull it out. Philando.
Now, hold on. Before we go on, he has said license and registration already.
Yes, that's correct.
So first he says license and registration.
That's when he informs
seconds
him.
Ago.
Yeah.
And then Philando mentions that he has a gun, and he's a permit holder. And then the guy's like, "Well, don't pull it out." Right? Go ahead.
That's correct.
Don't pull it out.
Don't he's pull going it for out. His gun. Blam. That was Philando. His final words: "I wasn't reaching."
Right. And he said he wasn't pulling. Well, before that, he says, "I'm not pulling it out."
That's right.
And then the guy shoots him.
That's correct.
"I'm not pulling it out." But, of course, a police officer is trained in many ways not to listen to what a person says because they're dealing with liars all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's an odd situation here. And, to me, it's like this officer is just too jumpy.
Absolutely.
To
Absolutely.
Be an officer.
This guy never pulled a gun on this officer. There's no evidence he even touched the gun.
Right. In order to shoot in self-defense— it's my opinion, especially if you have a gun trained on someone.
Which he didn't. He pulls and fires.
Well, right. But he had the gun out, and he could have it's trained before he pulls a trigger, right?
He could have pulled the gun and trained it on the suspect.
Hey, get your hands where I can see them. If you see a gun—
that'll get somebody's attention real fast.
Or something black and plastic or whatever it is, shiny revolver, whatever it is that you see, then perhaps we might be talking about a time to shoot. But I remember when I was a kid, there was a television show where you were training to be a police officer. So they told you to go get a plastic gun, go get a toy gun. And so I did.
Mm-hmm.
I went and got a toy gun. I remember it was a little bullpup, replica cap gun.
Cap gun, yeah.
Right?
They make cap guns anymore?
And I put it on my side.
I'm sure they do.
And then they did this whole reenactment things the cops had to do with all kinds of different scenarios. Mm-hmm. And one of them was very, very telling.
You want to talk about that coming up?
Yes, I do.
All right, more on the way here. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can weigh in on the video here of Philando Castile. And then there's some pretty outrageous news in this case we'll share with you coming up as well. It's Free Talk Live, live Sunday edition. This is Free Talk Live. It's the live Sunday edition of the program. We invite you to join us right here toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's free like freedom, 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Mark.
We're going to go to your phone calls, but I do want to finish out this video at the very least first before we jump into your thoughts, just because it's not very long, and last thing I want to do is get caught up and never actually have a chance to finish it. So we're going to do that next.
You don't need money to do business on Simbi. It's a slick and easy-to-use marketplace where you can trade your talents for other people's services and abilities. You can forget the old economy. This is your economy. Simbi.com. You won't believe the diversity of services they've got there. Hundreds of thousands of people are acting within the symbiotic economy. You get an account at Simbi, take a look around, post your services, S-I-M-B-I.com. And I want to mention, I just spoke with Carlos from Simbi on Friday, and he said there was a huge spike in people using Simbi that corresponded with the beginning of their ads here on Free Talk Live.
Huh.
So thank you, everyone who's gone over there and begun doing business on Simbi.
Well, don't they give you a little bit to start with?
Yeah,
so right. You don't really have to, you know, there's no real risk there, right? You
can there just isn't, try it out. Really. I mean, you know, whatever talent you might have, whatever odd thing that you might be able to do that you can sort of give someone over the internet advice, you know, mm-hmm. this one girl that I saw was offering her services of returning any text that you send her with, I have a boyfriend. She just text back, I have a boyfriend. Hmm. And she was doing that for one Simbi. I mean, the fact is you can do anything. I suppose somebody out there wants a text from this young lady that's says that she has a boyfriend. I don't know. I suppose it's clever. Get out of here. SIMBI.com. There's plenty more things like accounting services and video production and, you know, website marketing and all kinds of things. SIMBI.com.
All right, so we're going to go to your calls and thoughts here. Mark, I know you had a story you wanted to tell. It was about a training of some sort. Where was this happening again, where there was a cap gun involved? What was it, some sort of police training?
Yeah, what I was talking about was when I was young, I remember that a—
Before prison?
Very young, okay. Yes, as a child.
Okay.
There was a police training that came on the television. And, you watched what was on the five channels that were available back then.
So this is the 70s.
It's the 80s.
Okay.
And what it was is that they were going to show you what police training was about, police training video. And the idea is, how can you score? So in one portion of this police training video, a man's walking up to you and you're, you can say, stop, stop, stop. And you're supposed to, you can pull or you can fire or you can not unholster or whatever. And you get points based on whatever it is you do. And this guy's pulling something out of his his jacket pocket or something like that. As he gets up, you slowly see him hold up a card. You know, he pulls something out of his jacket. It's a card that says, I'm deaf. And I guess this would be something that a deaf person would carry around maybe in the 1980s. I don't know if this is done now.
Okay.
But, it's supposed to show that you don't have all the information all of the time as an officer.
True.
And I didn't pull the trigger on it, but I did pull the weapon. Now, you would think that a person would react when the weapon was pulled, right? Like, maybe the deaf person can see a gun, put up their hands or whatever. But anyway, it was just supposed to show in the training how that was. And so what that says to me is that police departments, at least in the 1980s, were training officers not to shoot somebody just because they reached into a pocket.
That would seem to be the more humane approach, but these days they know they can get away with just, shooting somebody in the streets for reason. All they have to do is claim that they were scared, which is what happened in this case. The cop who blasts away Philando Castile with, seven shots or something like that, point-blank range in front of his girlfriend and child, the cop got away with it. He was acquitted of all the manslaughter charges that were brought against him.
The civil case against the town or the city will probably not go so well for them. But, nonetheless, that's not I don't imagine that makes anybody feel real good right now. I can imagine that there are people out there that feel very threatened that a police officer can just,
for sure,
blast you.
Yep, and this isn't the first time we've had a story like this. It's just the latest iteration of it. So anyway, let's get back into the video here. I've jumped it back just a moment for those of you who are just now tuning in. The murder of Philando Castile by a police officer who's gotten away with it, of course. Let's continue.
You have a firearm on me.
Don't reach for it, then.
I was Don't pull it out.
Cop's pulling out his gun now.
I'm not pulling it out.
So yeah, as Philando is saying, I'm not pulling it out, the cop is unholstering and pulling somewhat out his gun, and then he proceeds to pull it all the way out and blast away here as Philando says his final words.
Don't pull it out!
I wasn't reaching.
Don't move!
He's not moving.
Is that cop yelling at him not to pull it out after he shot him 9 times?
I think he's yelling at the woman at this point. Because...
Stay with me. We got pulled over for.
Now we go into the car where the. This was, I guess, the original video that came out because it was the lady, his girlfriend, who I don't know if she's live streaming or just recording it, but this video was the original one came out. Now the dash cam, which is what we've been watching up until this point in the video, it now switches to inside.
We never
the cab.
Knew what happened. It's just a, you know, just some guy bleeding out in his car.
That's right.
Anything could have occurred ahead of time.
You basically get to watch him die.
And you still don't know exactly what happened in this car, but we have a heck of a lot more information than we did.
Or a busted tail light in the back. And the police, he's covered. He killed my
Yep.
He's licensed to carry. He was trying to get out his ID and his wallet out his pocket, and he let the officer know that he had a firearm and he was reaching for his wallet, and the officer just shot him in his arm. We're waiting for a back. I will, sir. No worries. He just shot his
arm.
Cop
still has the gun completely drawn and at the ready here.
Right, he's standing there with a gun
we
on a dead guy.
We got pulled over on Larpiner.
I told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand open.
Yeah. You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license.
He sure did.
Oh,
he did.
God.
Before all of this happened, he said license and registration. And
right.
I mean, you know, like seconds before he shoots this guy.
And, of course, if you don't get the license and registration, you get charged with disobeying an officer.
Right. This guy's just too chicken-ass to have been a cop. He should have never been on the force in the first place.
Please don't tell me he's dead.
He's
Please
dead.
Please don't tell me my boyfriend.
He was shot like 9 times.
Yeah, I think it was 7 times.
Five.
Yeah.
Like that.
Just keep your hands where they are, please.
Yes, I will, sir. I'll keep my hands where they are. Please don't tell me this, Lord. Please, Jesus, don't tell me that he's gone.
Yeah.
Please don't tell me that he's gone. Please, officer, don't tell me that you just did this to him. You shot 4 bullets into him, sir. He was just getting his license and registration, sir.
Get the female passenger out.
Ma'am, exit the car right now with your hands up. You see your hands. Exit now. Keep them up. Keep
so
them
this
up.
Is how they cover themselves, right? Okay, so this is how the covering goes. Now,
oh, we're
they're treating her
that.
Like she's dangerous.
Yeah.
All she's done, she went to live streaming. She's not even comforting her boyfriend because libel, you know, like her, like laying on him or whatever, probably get her shot too.
Where's my daughter? You got my daughter?
Face away from me and walk backwards.
That's the end of the clip.
Keep walking. Keep walking.
And that's where it ends. More coming up here in moments. 855 450 free like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. You can weigh in with your thoughts.
Tired of spending hours hunting down the day's essential political news and views? Let Tom and Steve at Rational Review News Digest do it for you. Visit rationalreview.com for free hand-curated news, commentary, and audio and video content. Choose from web, social media, and once-daily email editions. We've been the Freedom Movement's daily newspaper since 1991. Come find out why at rationalreview.com.
It's Free Talk Live, live Sunday edition of the program. You can dial in toll-free. Coming up, we can talk about McDonald's moving towards, apparently in a big way, the idea of automated cashiers. Johnny Ray's got some information about that coming up. It is Ian, Johnny Ray, and Mark in the studio here tonight, live Sunday edition of the show. Also want to let you know that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Jax, the official wallet of Free Talk Live. What kind of wallet? It's not the wallet you put in your pocket, unless it's on your phone, in which case I guess
you can put it in your pocket, yeah.
But you can also put Jax on your desktop or laptop computer or tablet. Jax is a cross-platform Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency wallet. It can hold Ether and Dash and Rep tokens and many other things.
That's what I love about it is that it just has so many different options.
Yep. JAXX.io is where you can go to download it, or your Google or Apple App Store. It was created by Anthony DeOrio, who is the creator of the CryptoKit. And he put in Shapeshift integration that makes it super easy to exchange between cryptos right from within Jax. They're striving to give you command over your digital life, coins, contracts, currencies, identity, and more. It's also easy to back up your wallet and recover your funds. So if something terrible happens to your phone, no big deal if you've got the backup, which should be the first thing you do when you install it. It's your digital command center in the palm of your hand. It's Jax, the official wallet of Free Talk Live at JAXX.io. To the phones, your calls and thoughts, then an update on this Philando Castile case, which, of course, the cop has been found not guilty by a jury very recently. Let's go to Matt in New Mexico. Matt, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey.
Hey.
Good to be on.
Thanks. Go ahead.
I think there's a few problems, as usual, with any of these situations. It's not always the cop's the bad guy. From the video I saw, which, of course, was a truncated version of the whole event, but there was a point where he's reaching, the cop says, don't get it, and he's reaching behind his back. And look, you don't know what he's reaching for. I mean, he's probably reaching for his wallet, but the cop gave him confusing
directions.
What
video, is it the one that his girlfriend recorded where they actually show show the shooting? Because I didn't know that existed.
I haven't been able to find a video.
I haven't watched it in months, so I'm trying to recall it. But,
okay, is it possible you're
because the officer says things. He's like narrating to some extent, but we don't know what happened in the car. We don't know where he was reaching. We don't know if he was reaching. We just have this.
We don't. Right. I think the cop is giving confusing directions. Number one,
that's very common.
Number two, I think it's imperative on anybody who's pulled over in that situation, if there's ever any doubt, just put your hands on the dashboard and just work it out.
I tend to agree with you.
But we don't know that didn't happen at this point, right? Like, it could be that the officer heard – it could be that the officer's just like – going into some psychotic binge. Well, we have no idea.
Well, we do know what the people in the video say. That's what we know. And we know that his girlfriend is saying that he was going for his wallet. So he was making
right after being told to go for his wallet.
Right, but to not go for the gun. And so the cop used that as the excuse to think that he was going to go for the gun and blast him away. The girlfriend said he was going for the wallet. Go ahead.
Can I just say this?
Yeah.
Everybody makes it out like this guy has a racial bias against Philando. When reality is, he's probably just not the right guy to be a cop.
Agreed.
I mean, he's obviously very regretful after the event. He didn't
he's
want
weeping.
To do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like it's a racial thing like it's painted out to be.
I didn't say anything about his race. I haven't even mentioned his race.
Yeah, I don't think we mentioned Philando's race here in this circumstance. But I think that, like, I can see why somebody would see this situation. Like, because Philando is a concealed carry permit holder.
Mm-hmm.
And concealed carry permit holders commit fewer crimes in the United States than police officers do. They are, if you're going to classify somebody as something, they are the least dangerous folks out there next to nuns. And so he's a concealed carry permit holder, a family man, and a guy who works hard. And I can see why a black person might say to themselves, he was doing everything that he could to walk the line and do what he's supposed to do, and some cop freaks out and plugs him four times in front of his kid. You see?
Yeah, well, I mean, clearly the cop was not equipped, I don't think, to be in that position to be doing that job.
Yep.
He was very short on the trigger. I mean, who's to say I'm not a cop, never been one? You got two people in a car. You don't know what their intentions are.
No, but you do know whether or not someone has a gun in their hand. I mean, it wasn't dark. It was maybe getting down into the evening hours, so it was not a dark situation. You couldn't claim that he wasn't able to see the man's hand or gun or whatever. And, he shot this guy without ostensibly without ever having seen him lay a hand on that gun.
And like you said, if you don't have the
moving in that direction from what the cop,
That's not good enough.
The cop wasn't realizing how confusing his directions were, which is a problem.
Yeah, that's right. Common where the police will be like, "Get on the ground, put your hands up," at the same time, like you'll have two different cops telling you the opposite things, and you're like, "What do I do? Do I get shot?"
And then you're shot and dead because the victim, the citizen, is expected to be perfect and well-trained, and the cop gets every bit of license to do everything. The person who received ostensibly 2 years of criminal justice training gets all kinds of leeway because, well, he might have been scared if he walked up to a window there and saw two people, you know, or whatever. I mean, you know, if you don't have the minerals to walk up to a car because you might get hurt, and you might. If you don't have them, you shouldn't have been, you should have never signed up for police academy.
So I did just pull up the video, and I'm not going to play it on the air because I suspect it is uncensored. But the video of Philando's girlfriend, the full length, what is claimed to be the full length version. So CNN shows you the point at which it starts in the car. That the CNN cuts as soon as they take her out of the car. The video then tends to then goes on for another 8 minutes or so after that. You can watch as the police are on the side. Multiple police are on the sidewalk there. You know, backup had arrived at this point. Multiple cops have drawn down on this lady as she's exiting the car. You can see her kind of walking towards them with their guns trained on her. And then later it appears as though they put her in the back of the of what appears to be a cruiser. You can see the lights, the blue and red lights are flashing, and she is narrating something here. I presume she's quite upset, and so that's why I'm saying I'm not going to play this audio on the air. But I will link to this on our Facebook, our Twitter, so you can actually watch the full video. But the video does, Matt, pick up right in the car after he's been shot, so you don't actually get to see from her perspective what anybody's doing in the car before the actual shooting. So I'm thinking maybe you're confusing this with another police shooting, which, of course, there are plenty of them, and it's easy to get lost and confused on it. I appreciate your opinions. Anything else you want to share tonight?
Yeah, I think what really disturbs me about all this anti-police rhetoric is that you only see, you know, from point A to point B of the encounter. And people draw their conclusions based entirely on a selection of the event that they're exposed to. They do not know what happened before or after and what led up to whatever it was. And they conclude guilt based on that alone. And and then there's a narrative.
Well, that doesn't apply to this case, right?
All white cops are against black people.
Well, first of all, we haven't mentioned anything about the color of any of the participants in this. And so what you're saying, you're just making a general comment of your opinion about similar cases, because this case you get to see from beginning to end everything that happens. You don't see in the cab of the car everything that happens, but you get to see and hear absolutely everything, the full context of what happens here.
Presumably, I mean, what could be said here is that Philando could have been up on two wheels, right, and doing whoop-de-woos out the window, right? Like, whoa, he could have been doing anything. I don't think that's the circumstance here, because the cop certainly doesn't mention that. There are instances where
it doesn't look like he's driving a hoopty. He appears to be driving like a Mercury four-door or something like that.
Where videos will jump to the exciting part. But before we go, Matt, I want to make sure that because you said that, like, we don't get all the information and this is just one excerpt of this officer's life and those sorts of things. And I just want to point out that's kind of what the criminal justice system is. The criminal justice system will take a moment of one's life and they, you know, we don't get held to the same standards police do. They don't give this kind of rhetoric when an individual, a citizen like you and I, get arrested. The newspaper is just going to report this. Wham, you did this. You know, Matt, you did this. Blam, blam. And you're in jail sitting and waiting for a trial for 3 years. Like, you do agree that police are a class of citizen that gets far more deference than regular folks, right?
Matt?
I'll let you think
about it here. Hang on. We'll bring you back here in moments. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You dial toll free. Join us right here. Our number here on this live Sunday edition is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype as well. You can Skype on in here at Skype username lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Johnny Ray,
and Mark.
We're going to go back into your phone calls and thoughts. I do want to let you know that you can watch the show via our YouTube feed. You go to cam.freetalklive.com. That'll show you during our live show hours, which are 7 to 10 at night Eastern time, 7 nights a week. You can watch us on our studio cams, which we've got two of them. That is free, like every other feature on our website. The other talk show hosts in this business, they like to charge you for things like webcams and archives on their sites. Ours completely free, so go and enjoy it. cam.freetalklive.com. You can also just click right into our YouTube channel at youtube.freetalklive.com, and that'll show you all of, I don't know, however many hundreds of YouTube videos we have now at this point. I think we've been doing it for a couple of years, at least 2 or 3 years maybe, so we probably have several hundred over at youtube.freetalklive.com. We go back to Matt in New Mexico. Now, Mark, you had asked Matt a question right before we went to break, and it was, you know, sort of about the deferential treatment that it seems like the police get, you know, from, well, the police. And you'd asked Matt some sort of question about, you know, could he acknowledge that that's true?
Right. And I,
and Matt never really had a chance to answer
that. He did not have a chance to answer it. But Matt, I'm going to set this up a little bit for you. Now, if somebody's arrested, the chances of them making a trial are about 1/3 of 1%. Most people take a plea or they have the charges dropped. Of the people who make it to trial, one would presume many of them are not guilty because they'd had the cojones to take it all the way to trial, which very, very few people do. Of the people that take it to trial for felonies, I don't know of any police officers convicted of misdemeanors in life, but people who take it to trial for felonies, about 33% are found not guilty, and about 2/3 are found guilty. And that's normal people, felonies. Now, I have never been able to find exactly how what the percentage is of police officers that make it to trial, and I'm, you know, guessing that you have to have a lot of evidence to take a police officer to trial. But of the percentage of them, the best I've been able to find is, quote-unquote, only 20% of officers arrested are ever convicted of murder or manslaughter. Now, that's not all felonies. It's the best I can get. So what I hear there is about 1/5 of officers are found guilty and 4/5 are found innocent. It's a huge disparity at trial compared to the average folks and officers. And, you know, just having that information there. And then thinking about this particular mental picture, if you or I were walking down the street, somebody reaches into their pocket, we come to the conclusion because they're doing that, that they're going for a weapon. We don't see a weapon. We pull a gun on them. We shoot them 4 times. How do you think our manslaughter trial is going to go?
Matt, are you still with us?
Hypothetical situation. I don't know.
I mean, you don't know because you know, right? Like, you don't want to give up an inch in this argument. And that's what people who are, you know, like you're finding new information out. Your brain is stretching, right? Do you think the police officers are treated the way that you would be treated at trial? Before trial?
But listen, you're not presenting a factual argument. You're presenting a hypothetical that's irrelevant because it's not going to happen.
Fine. Then ignore the hypothetical. Do you think police officers are treated through the judicial system the way you would be? Do you think you would get the same deference and the same treatment that they do?
No.
Of course not.
And I think that's fair.
You think it's fair?
You think it's fair that police are treated differently, that police are treated with more respect, more deference?
Yes, because their job is different. Their position in that encounter is different. They are in a position of threat to they are under threat when they do their job. I am not under threat when I'm walking around generally.
Well, you know, so one of the things that the badge, you know, what you're told is that the rights of the citizenry are taken and given to the police officer, the rights of protection. But one can't give rights that one doesn't have. And if you don't believe that you could get away with shooting somebody before you saw a gun, then do you think a police officer should be able to get away with shooting somebody before they see a gun?
No.
There.
Okay.
That's
well,
what
he
I
did.
Think.
He did get away with
it. I think this officer is guilty of manslaughter. I don't think he's guilty of murder. I don't think sending him to prison for manslaughter is going to do any particularly great thing for America or for this family or whatever. You can believe the taxpayers of the city of Minneapolis are going to get skinned over this because the Minneapolis Police Department hired a completely incompetent boob who reacted terribly and cost the life of one of their citizens.
Hey, Matt, thanks for your call tonight. I do appreciate the discussion and your time. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733.
It reminds me, this conversation, it reminds me of what the great Will Grigg used to talk about often, the who-whom dichotomy. And he would explain it better, but he was always talking about the communists, and the philosophy was that there was no behavior that a human the behavior of someone could not any kind of specific behavior could not be condemned, because if you were a political apparatchik or a agent of the state, then you were one of the protected class, and you could do things, you could kill or murder or steal.
Yep.
But if you were a peasant, you could not. And that is
been that way.
You get from the state is that people's actions are not as important, and it just contributes to chaos because you're not thinking about
chaos.
Your actions. It's about who you are allows you to do this or that.
It is chaos, but it's got the sort of the patina of control over it, right? It's got this. They want you to believe that it would be a lot worse if it weren't for the thin blue line out there keeping everybody safe from the ramaging, or the rampaging criminals that would be otherwise all over us if it weren't for these police officers. So if you have to break a few eggs in order to make the omelet of a mostly peaceful society, they would have you believe that they are doing that, that is their role, that every now and then they're going to screw it up, but if it weren't for them, Johnny Ray, that we would be living in true chaos. But what you're saying is that this is chaos, but it has the illusion of something else.
One of the things that I think is libertarianism is really good on is the equality of people in what they're allowed to do to each other.
Mm-hmm. Badges should not grant extra rights.
Right.
But they do.
Right. You can't. Murder is never right. And theft is never right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many people vote for it.
It's correct. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what to me is most telling here is that people are running to defend the paid, trained government employee, and they expect every possible perfect action from the, ignorant. I use the term ignorant just to mean that how am I supposed to know how to react at a police stop? They didn't teach me this stuff in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they said, hey, make sure you keep your hands at 10 and 2. I had to learn this stuff by looking on the internet. I do keep my hands at 10 and 2 because I don't want to be shot by some cop who says, well, he said the word firearm and right? I mean, like the police officer says, license and registration, here's the word firearm, and shoots the guy.
Yeah.
That's the scenario here. And, this officer, my understanding, has lost his job. Now, maybe he'll get it back because he's been found not guilty or whatever. I don't know the answer to that. But this guy seems highly unqualified. Now, if somebody makes this grave of an error, isn't there some responsibility of the municipality here? Somebody hired this guy. And, nobody wants to take, any responsibility about it.
No,
it's all like, it's all like, well, this is a tragic mistake. Well, yeah, it's a tragic mistake. But if it was a tragic mistake that was made by you or I,
you'd pay the price.
We'd be in jail right now. We'd be in prison. And
Is this lady ever going to see a payment from this cop? No.
I suspect that. Not from the cop, no. Yeah. But I suspect that they'll probably see a payment of some sort.
Maybe.
Because this thing's gone. She had the forethought to begin live streaming.
Yeah.
And
smart move.
Yeah, she had the video. Now, I mean, she didn't get to spend the last moments touching her loved one, but she probably would have been shot to death.
Yeah, she'd have been shot.
She'd have been shot to death by that lunatic who was out there crying, holding a gun on them.
Oh, yeah.
you know, like, I can't handle
shouting
this.
Shouting like a madman.
Yeah, it was it was really weird. And I mean, it's obviously an emotional situation, but it shouldn't have been.
The toll-free number tonight allowing you to join us here on the radio live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. You can call in at 855-450-FREE like freedom, 855-450-3733, or Skype into the show at Skype username lrn.fm. This is Free Talk Live.
Bitcoin.com is the most unique online destination in the Bitcoin universe. Buying Bitcoin? Do it here. Want to speak your mind to other Bitcoin users? Our forum is always open and censorship free at forum.bitcoin.com. There's no bigger Bitcoin believers than the Bitcoin.com team. That's why this site is a one-stop shop for everything you need to get into Bitcoin life. You can also play games at games.bitcoin.com. Learn more at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. Live Sunday edition of the show. You can dial in toll-free, bring up what you want. We're going to talk about the minimum wage and McDonald's possibly moving towards, in a big way, automated cashiers. Johnny Ray's got that story with you in the studio tonight. You've got me, Ian.
Me, Johnny Ray.
And me, Mark.
We will go to your calls and thoughts. You, of course, can take control of the airwaves here. For those of you just tuning in, we have been talking a lot about Philando Castile and the video footage that came out recently from the police cruiser where a man, Philando, was shot to death by a cop. Trigger-happy cop who in no way apparently did he see Philando touch a gun, but Philando let him know he had a gun when this was just a regular pullover for a burnout brake light, apparently. Philando informs the officer he has a gun. The officer, within seconds, has shot him multiple times after Philando had gone for his wallet. And his girlfriend witnessed the entire thing, and she said that he was going for his wallet, not his gun. He was in no way apparently even touching his gun, but the cop blasted him away anyway and was now found not guilty by a jury on multiple felony manslaughter counts. As we go to your calls and thoughts, we've got, I believe, Brian is on the line calling us from Chicago. Brian, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight, Brian?
Well, you know, I've been listening to this, and, you know, one of the things I heard that police officers do that really just makes me believe what you've been talking about already, which he should have never had the job. I mean, when you see the film clips of people in the military and they shoot people and those type of things, the training that they go through, the overexcitement should not have been coming from him as much as it should have been coming from the people in the automobile. And and that really suggests that the gentleman had no idea to deal with what he was dealing with.
Perhaps so, despite whatever training he's gone through.
When the young lady is doing her streaming there, you know, she's very, very calm. Yes, sir. I won't get my hands near the gun. Yes, sir. Yeah. Like, she's calm. He's screaming and crying, right? And I'm not saying that, you know, screaming and crying isn't appropriate in the circumstance when somebody's been shot. Yeah. It's just
wrongfully,
that,
especially,
right. It's just that, you know, like, maybe you could have done this differently, pal.
But,
and I'm not, like, manslaughter is a charge for people who made a terrible mistake, not a charge for people who have intentionally killed people. And I think that that's the most appropriate. I don't know what the punishment should be, but I, you know, to me, what I clearly saw was manslaughter.
But do you think, I mean, when you look at that, or you listen to it, actually, when you listen to everything that's going on there, one, the police officer wasn't very good with his instruction. Number two, he didn't make it clear that, hey, you know what, you need to keep your hands in plain sight. And the third thing that I didn't hear him do is really eloquently, after the guy mentioned the gun, tell him what that means. And that's really what you were talking about earlier. They need to be educated to tell the common man what they're thinking, because they're trained in a whole other way where the civilian public is only trained to make sure that they have a authorization to carry the gun that is approved by the state that they're in, and those type of things. But, you know, what we see happening in America right now, I totally support during the campaign what Donald Trump was talking about and how police officers were just being really thrown out there as being chaotic and overbearing, and they're getting shot for a reason. That's what they were saying. And Trump put some realism to the fact that they need to be respected. But what I would say to you is, you know, one time I went through a toll area in Oklahoma. I had a Starbucks cup. I don't know if that's okay to say that. But I had a cup sitting there that had lemonade in it. And I'm going through a toll booth, and the water had kind of, the ice had kind of melted, and lemonade was kind of, you know, so it looked kind of golden in color. And the next thing you know, a guy comes out of nowhere, a police officer comes out of nowhere and pulls me over and has me out of the car, is searching the car and looking at that cup of melted ice with lemonade. Now, she thought it was liquor, obviously, and it was not. But it goes to the heart of the matter that sometimes, and I think more than not, they actually become opportunists looking for anything, depending on what time of the month it is and where they're at in the overall everything that they're looking at hitting quotas. It mm-hmm. does come down to quotas. They cannot deny that quotas don't play a part in this.
Yeah, I mean, in some departments, they do frequently deny having quotas, but that's because
they call them department averages.
Right, they have things like departmental average, which is technically not a quota. It's an average of the amount of arrests that the department has, and then if you're above the average, you're a good little boy, and if you're below the average, you might get punished.
I can totally see why they have quotas at departments, because just about everything's illegal. They can get you. They can pull you over for swerving inside your lane, right? Like, here's the lane. We've painted lines on it. You've stayed inside of those lines. However, we don't like the way that you stayed inside those lines.
Yeah, sure.
You haven't gone over. You haven't exceeded the speed limit. We're going to pull you over anyway. When you live in a world where you can be pulled over for literally anything, then no wonder they have quotas. Of course they do. These are armed revenue agents, not law enforcement officers any longer.
Peace officers.
What if a lawyer decided to challenge that and say, which I would have done if I had been his lawyer, I would have approached it from maybe a whole other area. I would have said, let's get to the heart of the matter of why he was pulled over in the first place. Was the brake light out? And if it was it just shining on that and illuminating in a different way? Was it weak or whatever it was? But let's talk about what the reasoning was of the quota that caused all of this to happen, because those are the things that we as Americans are getting sick of. It's being these random whatever, just in case we might catch you with something happening to us when we're needing to go do something like work or travel or something to that effect.
Yeah.
So they're,
they do the fishing expeditions all the time.
Right. And, you know, what did he want his license and registration for? Probably
standard.
Probably
standard
not to give him a ticket for the taillight that's out. That's usually
they're running a check for warrants.
A fix-it ticket. Right. They're checking for warrants. It's gotten to the point that essentially, pull you over for anything, check for warrants and see if you've got them, and then let you go on
sniff
and have
car,
a nice day.
See if you smell any weed. And sniff the car
that's
for
what
some alcohol.
That's what it comes down to in this circumstance. I can see how the police officer, you know, he's just asked for a license and registration. That could be really threatening for somebody in some car, right? And they could pull a gun and shoot. Of course, they probably wouldn't tell you that I'm a licensed concealed carry firearm permit holder in the state. But whatever. I mean, I get the whole scenario. It's just that, you know, police officers are put in crappy situations because their bosses and their politicians have turned them into armed revenue collection agents rather than police peace officers. And, plenty of them are getting hired that are just unqualified.
But they need to get it right, though. They need to make sure that at the end of the day that they're convicting the right one and they're letting the other ones go. I mean, there was one in Missouri that happened, and I think they got that absolutely right with the gentleman the boy that they shot, and he was resisting. They were in the car. He pulled the gun in the backseat. And all of those things, and then the boy had a history of all this stuff. I mean, I think they got that one right. I think they got this one wrong, though, because you can just listen to the audio, and there is not a person in that car trying to fight,
There's no threat. No threat whatsoever.
Prevent. Yeah. Yeah,
except
nothing,
for the cop.
Nothing, no threat at all.
The cop was the only threat in that in that situation. Hey, Brian, good call. I appreciate hearing from you tonight. Our toll-free number, if you want to join us here, is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Paul. He is in South Carolina. Paul, what part of South Carolina are you in tonight?
I'm in upstate, Anderson, South Carolina.
All right, welcome to the show. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey, bud. Listening to a couple of things here, it sounds like you've got a bit of a vendetta against the cops. I mean,
no, not at all.
I don't feel like I do.
One of the things.
What would make you say
listening
that?
To one of the things there, he's asking for the license and registration.
Yeah.
And then the comments going about that, so they can search for warrants. Well, maybe that is true. But also, if they're going to write you a ticket for anything, one, they want to make sure you do have a valid. Yeah, they need your ID.
Well, I'm not saying they shouldn't have asked for a license. I wouldn't say that he shouldn't ask for a license and registration. I just think that traffic stops have turned into fishing expeditions at this point.
We'll continue. Paul, if you want to hang on, we'll bring it back here. You can continue to comment if you have more to say. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live continues. It's Free Talk Live. Sunday edition of the show. You dial in toll-free. Bring up anything you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's me, Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Mark.
Back to your phone calls and thoughts. We have Paul on the line in South Carolina. Paul, we've been, as you know, but as our listeners tuning in may not know, we've been talking about the shooting death of Philando Castile, a concealed carry permit holder pulled over for ostensibly having a burnout brake light within seconds of being informed that he was carrying concealed. Philando was shot to death by the officer in that situation. Anyway, you were trying to make a point. I wanted to make sure you had a chance to get your thoughts out, so go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about the license and registration and why he was asked for that. Second of all, you hear her, being told to don't reach for the gun or whatever. I have a concealed carry permit also, and it should be concealed. It shouldn't be visible, and it definitely shouldn't be where someone else could reach across a car seat and get their hands on it. So, I mean, we can't see what the cop sees.
That's true.
And prejudging him and saying, he murdered the guy or whatever, that's not fair.
No one here claimed he murdered him.
I did. I said he murdered him.
I say he's guilty of manslaughter. He was not up on murder charges. Right. He's guilty of manslaughter because manslaughter is, it's a negligent act. It's an unintentional negligent act.
But we don't have body cam. We can't see exactly, where was the gun at? Why was it, accessible to her? I mean, the cop did what he did, and if he
it wasn't necessarily
there's no there was no testimony entered into the trial that the police officer ever saw a gun, because the man, from what best we can tell, never touched it.
Yeah, the cop was just scared.
And
shot the man to death.
The important thing to point out here is that, we give all the deference in the world to the trained police officer and none of it to the ignorant citizen. And if you don't want any deference given to you, then by all means, give all the deference to the police officer. But just think, this could have been you or your child, and it would be a whole different scenario for you.
Well, I have been pulled over. And
shot?
No.
Okay.
I was not shot, but I was pulled over.
Me too.
And my registration, as well as my handgun, was in my console. In the state of South Carolina, I can carry it in the console or the dash if it's not, if I'm not concealed or whatever. And when he asked for license and registration, I immediately told him, I do have a permit, I do have a weapon, but my paperwork is in this console right here, as well as my firearm. And if you want to, I'll be glad for, I'll step out of the way. Yep. I'll step wherever you want me to. You're welcome to get it yourself. But, making it clear it's there, that is my responsibility.
Why is that your responsibility?
Well, if I don't tell him that it's there and I just open the console and he sees it,
it depends on the state.
Some states, it's a crime to not tell the cops.
Right. Well, in very few states, and South Carolina isn't one of them, is it a crime to not tell them? Now, if asked, you should. I understand why you would tell a police officer, look, my registration's sitting right next to a handgun.
Yep.
I get that that's really a good idea, but we don't know where Philando's gun was. Maybe it was in the glove compartment, and he was just reaching for his wallet for his license and reg. We don't know.
Right, and that's why I can't pass judgment on the cop and say that
I can. You don't see a gun, you don't shoot somebody.
Yeah, man.
If you aren't qualified, if you're not that qualified, you don't belong in a uniform. That's
seems pretty obvious.
It's based on every scenario, though. I mean, every scenario.
No one ever calls
just,
me before you go on. No one ever calls me and says, "I think you guys are really down on the DMV. I think you guys hate the IRS." No one ever says that. It's always they're defending the police. And I wonder what kind of social currency does this organization have that is so much greater than every other government bureaucrat.
Now I just don't think we're given. You know, it's a bad situation that the guy was shot. I agree.
So would you agree, an unqualified police officer,
so you
right?
agree that
like a person completely unqualified to wear that badge, right?
I'm not saying that. I'm
you
not
shoot somebody before you see a gun, you're a big old wuss. You don't deserve to carry. The man's wearing a bulletproof vest, and he shot a man before he saw a gun. He is.
It's a coward. He's a coward.
He sucks. Yeah. He's crappy at this.
Just admit it, man.
He should be serving fries or driving a truck or doing something.
You're analyzing the whole thing, but you're basing every situation off of.
We're not talking about other situations.
Here it is.
Hold on. We're only talking about one situation.
Every single situation.
Whether he saw the gun when the guy's hands disappeared, and he says, "Don't."
Nobody said his hands disappeared.
Okay, the gun was. She says he's reaching for his wallet.
She said he was.
I mean, his hand's obviously not right there where the
cop is. No, nothing's obvious. All that's obvious is what's said in the video. You can't see what happened.
For the gun. So the gun is obviously there somewhere where she could get to it. And after the guy is shot, then the cop is apparently seeing the gun. I mean, we don't have body cam footage.
No, it's not clear if the cop is seeing the gun. We do have footage from inside the cab, and I don't see a gun just sitting out there
somewhere.
Right,
there's just a man bleeding out.
I looked through. I did a quick internet search just before I called you. And in one of the photos, it's circled, and it appears that there is a gun sitting on the guy's, where his pocket would be, his front pocket would be. You know, don't know. If that's it, why is it visible? I'm just saying, I mean, we don't know everything that happened inside of that vehicle.
Agreed.
Because the camera doesn't roll the entire time. So you don't really know, but
you do know what the
judgment.
Testimony in the trial was, and Marquez said that this officer never testified that he saw a gun. If the cop never saw a gun, he's got no reason to pull a trigger. You may be able to say the cop had reason because he was scared to draw down. I could see it going that far. Like, okay, cop's uncertain of what he's reaching for. He's reaching for something in his pants. The cop's not sure. He could then probably draw the gun, you know, train it on the man and make it crystal clear that he's fixing to shoot. But in this case, he doesn't do that. He just jumps straight to pulling the trigger. And, you know, anybody who could defend this cop for what he did is just, you know, you're reaching, dude. Thanks for the call tonight, Paul. Toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. So desperate to defend the police that they will make any excuses that they possibly can. Anything at all.
I see this picture that he's...
I Googled Philando Castile gun on lap.
Yep.
It doesn't look anything like a gun to me.
It's just there's a shape. I couldn't say one way or the other what that shape is. You know. But then again, a gun's not always going to be obvious in its shape. So I don't know what the circumstance is. I'm going to stand by the statement that if you believe a person is pulling a gun, that's fine. I get it. But you can't just run around shooting anybody that you think might be pulling a gun.
No.
You need to have pulled a gun. If they pulled a gun, then we're talking about
there's now a threat against your life.
They're an entirely different situation.
Right.
If Philando Castile pulled a gun on this officer, then it was a good shoot. But that's not what the testimony in this trial is about. This officer's fired because his superiors believe he's unqualified.
Yeah. If I could see a situation in which shooting would make sense, if Philando had said before going for what was ultimately supposed to be his license and registration, if Philando had instead said, "I'm going to kill you," and then started making a motion towards his waistline or whatever, I think then the cop would be more justified in going ahead and pulling a trigger.
Right. Why would he say I'm a licensed concealed carry permit holder and I have a gun if he's then going to shoot an officer?
Exactly. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. You can join us here on the Live Sunday edition. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up. Plenty of time for you with your thoughts. Plus, if we get a chance, we'll talk about McDonald's and their plans coming up.
Dash is digital cash, a digital currency designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy, fees are low, and transactions are confirmed instantly. Pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime, for just pennies on the dollar. Dash is the first digital money that's governed by its users. Join Dash and help us build a better financial system for everyone. Find out more at dash.org. That's dash.org.
It is Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free. Join us on the radio here live Sunday edition. The number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Bitcoin.com is where you can go to learn about Bitcoin if you're brand new to the amazing decentralized cryptocurrency, the world's first, but certainly you know, not the last. There are dozens and dozens or hundreds and hundreds of competitors to Bitcoin out there, but Bitcoin's still number one. And you can find out why over at Bitcoin.com. You can also get the latest news about what's happening in the Bitcoin universe over at news.bitcoin.com. That's news.bitcoin.com. In fact, I was just looking at a story over at news.bitcoin.com the other day. I'm constantly, you know, checking the site to see what the latest is in the SegWit 2X situation, which could come to a boil here within the next few weeks, where you've got these two geeks, sort of sides factions that are fighting, factions that are fighting over what's going to happen with the future of Bitcoin. They've been covering that very closely over at news.bitcoin.com.
I thought World War Geek was over.
Oh, no. Nope. There's, you know, the possibility that it could mostly come to an end within the next several weeks.
If you go to coin.dance.com, you can take a look at the block size. And at this point, we have, last I saw, 83% of the miners signaling for SegWit 2X.
Yeah, it looks like that's about right. Yeah.
And that is a tremendous amount. It says to me that when they throw the switch for that, it's still an alpha right now, that meaning it's not quite ready for prime time. But when they throw the switch for that, you know, those other 13% of miners are probably going to feel a great deal of pressure,
economic pressure to
switch
flip
over. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll say, we want to stick here and get this other crap coin that comes out of the other end. I don't know. But
time will tell, and they'll be covering it over at news.bitcoin.com. So check that out. And again, if you're brand new to Bitcoin, start over at bitcoin.com. Let's go to your calls, your thoughts. You can bring up anything you want. We go to Carl. He's in Atlantic City listening to WPG. Hello, Carl.
Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
Yes.
I remember that case, that shooting, but what surprised me how cool and collect she is while this is going on.
Yeah.
She said this happened, she said that, before she started recording this stuff.
Yep.
Not her first rodeo, I would bet.
No, it sounds like she's had a few experiences with the police under her belt. She does seem experienced at dealing with psychotic, you know, panting, adrenaline-rushing cops.
Right. Right, and she and furthermore, if I followed her that later, she was worse off because it was the boyfriend's car. She didn't have a car, and she got a whole lot of money from a GoFundMe account, and she moved out of the drug-infested housing she lived in and moved into more drug-infested housing. She didn't use the GoFundMe money to get a nice apartment for her.
That's too bad.
Child. Why not? I haven't followed her in a while, so I wonder if she's got a new boyfriend by now. Maybe one was got some bucks in the car, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, this guy was a cafeteria worker, as I understand it.
Okay.
Carl, thanks for the update tonight.
Okay,
I appreciate
you.
The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Chris is in Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening to Kiva. Chris, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Johnny Ray, and Mark.
What's happening, guys? How you doing?
Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Just, you know, quick, just wanted to weigh in. I know we've been sort of going on with the Philando Castile situation, been listening for a little while here today. I appreciate the discourse, as always. And I guess, like you guys were saying, people sort of desperate to stick up for the police. I'm a very large police supporter. I'm not going to say that I'm not going to try and be desperate to stick up for the police in all situations, because that's certainly not the realistic thing to do. This situation, unfortunately, I like some people have been saying, we didn't see what was going on in the car, but I certainly feel like this is a situation of just, either a lack of training or just a lack of, proper temperament for the job.
Mm-hmm.
I think the assessment that the fellow should not have been on the force is certainly correct.
It's a scary job. right? I mean, it's a scary job.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Certainly all kinds of things can happen. It takes a special personality type. I work with police on a regular basis, and you got to be cool under pressure.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's really, you know, realistically, it's a nearly impossible job. And more in a general sense, this fella, I feel like realistically, like you said, manslaughter is a charge for when you make a mistake. I feel like this was a terrible mistake. I can get how a certain thought process in this fella's mind ballooned into an unrealistic or an incorrect reaction. I'm not defending his actions in this, so don't take me on that. But as far as he might have, you know, you see that he says, don't reach for your gun. The fella says, no problem. I'm not going to reach for my gun. I'm going to reach for my wallet. Wallets tend to be carried in places very similar to firearms.
Sure do.
With concealed carry. Again, that to me, the hair on the back of your neck goes up and you're like, okay, this is threatening. That is the point where absolutely you potentially train your firearm on the fella.
Right.
And instruct him to put his hands back where you can see him.
That would be the only appropriate level of escalation in this situation would be to train the weapon on the person to make sure they don't do something
dangerous. He pulled
it.
He didn't have to pull the trigger. He could have waited until he saw a gun, which, I mean, you know, it's easy to second guess what's going on in a circumstance. But I guess for me, you got to see a gun before you pull a trigger.
I think so.
From a police officer's perspective, I would say that is almost entirely true. I know that there are certainly many circumstances where both private citizen or even police that would not be potentially as a permit carry, you know, as a permit holder and a person who carries very regularly when dealing with the police, absolutely, we're not required to inform state, but at the same time, it's a courtesy, I feel. But when you do that, you say, you know, hey, sir, I have a firearm. This is where it's located. This is the type of firearm where it's located. The weapon is in a ready-to-fire condition. I pull my wallet out, have my wallet and license in my hands on the steering wheel in any traffic stop.
Yep.
And then you inform them of what you're going to at that point. And what would you like me to do?
I tend to agree. There are definitely better way, a more communicative way that this could have been handled on Philando's side for sure. Obviously doesn't absolve the cop of his responsibility.
So I'm usually really good at stops, and I probably had a half a dozen stops.
And the cop could have asked too, by the way. The cop could have been like, where is your firearm, sir?
Yeah,
and that would have helped clear it up.
Right. A trained individual should have handled it that way. But, you know, there was one instance not too long ago, like probably 5 years ago or something, where a police officer pulled me over and said that my front headlight was out. And I was stunned. So I went from having my hands on the wheel or whatever. I'm like, what? Really? And I open the door and I run around to take a look at the thing.
That makes cops nervous in some cases.
Well, in this circumstance, the cop didn't have a problem at all. Okay. He's just like, you know, he clearly can see that I'm stunned. But I have sort of, you know, I've got that look. I rarely get tickets, you know. Mm-hmm. I just have that kind of, you know, they're comfortable with my haircut. They're comfortable with the kind of car I drive. They're comfortable with the clothes I'm wearing. And, you know, I don't get them. But it could have gone really bad with the wrong officer in the wrong jurisdiction, in the wrong situation, where I just pull the door wide open to run around to the front of my Honda Element to take a look.
So you pop that door open with a cop standing right there?
Right there.
Yeah, that could make some of them nervous, depending on where and when. Chris, anything else you want to share tonight?
And really, the only thing I was going to say, too, and like I said, I guess there's a lot of heavy polarization when it comes to the opinions with, you know, people either hate the police and think they're psychotic or they are too quick to defend them in all situations. I guess balance is always the way to
I don't think you should hate any group of people based on whatever that group is.
That would be a prejudice.
Each individual needs, you know, each individual is different, and each individual in each circumstance needs to be judged based on those circumstances and their history and so on and so forth. So I'm with you there. Thanks, Chris, for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. But unfortunately, the police are given deferential treatment. They are treated special. Even after a police officer gets killed, they're given special treatment. Their body is given a parade, whereas the average people in a circumstance aren't. So again, there is a certain level of rights that police seem to have just by virtue of having the badge. And that's not okay, is it? It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live, the live Sunday edition of the show. You dial in toll-free and join us right here. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom, 855-450-3733. Still to come, if we get a chance, McDonald's possibly replacing thousands of cashiers with robots or with computer terminals. Johnny Ray's got some of the details on that coming up. It's Ian, Johnny Ray, and Mark in the studio here tonight. And if you want to help build a better financial system for everyone, you ought to join Dash. Dash is digital cash. It's a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast, private, and easy. Fees are low, and transactions are fast and can even be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. And Dash is decentralized. It's run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. You can join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today. Find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now. Just go to Dash.org. And you can find out why. As we go back to the phones and to the fun, we've been talking about the not fun topic of Philando Castile, the concealed carry permit holder who was shot to death by a police officer there in, Missouri? I think it was?
No, it was Minneapolis.
Oh, Minneapolis. Thank you. One of those M places. Anyway, there's actually an update on the story that is really worth sharing from Tech Dirt, and I want to get into that hopefully tonight as well, where police have been digging up dirt on Philando's girlfriend, the girl who was in the car as he was shot to death with the, I don't know if it was her 3-year-old daughter or his 3-year-old daughter in
the
back seat.
We messed up. Time for you to get investigated.
Yeah. So we'll get into that coming up here in moments, but let's go back to the phones and your calls and thoughts. First up, Robert is in Columbus in Ohio. Hello, Robert. You're listening online to LRN.FM. Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
That went
let's
poorly.
Go on. We've got Tony. He's in Chicago. Tony, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi there. Hey. I was just actually confused as to why he was even approached, because normally at a stop, you know, if they're having a problem, just the driver is approached. So, like, where was that, the, like, appropriate behavior?
What do you mean, the driver? Oh, he was the driver, so.
No, he wasn't.
I believe that he was.
He was on the right hand side. The daughter was in. It was her daughter was in the back seat, and she was driving.
Some of the pictures I've seen do look like he's sitting on the passenger side, but.
Well, that doesn't make any sense because maybe some of the video was flipped, perhaps, or the screenshots were flipped. It appears from her video that he is in the
right. He was in the driver's seat in her video.
Let me double check. I've got the raw footage here, and yes, it does appear as though, it does appear as though Philando is in the driver's side of the vehicle.
Okay, and so then on that, just one more thing.
Because she gets out of the passenger side, by the way. I'm sure of it, because when the police pull her out, she exits the passenger side of the vehicle. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, because I haven't been able to watch that other video because it just kind of tore my heart apart just to hear.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to watch.
Right, but then the second thing is also, like, when you think about 7 shots into a sitting man's body, right, I don't know how police officers are trained, but there could have been, you know, they're non-lethal ways of handling that as well when you're clear-headed.
Sure.
When you're not, you know, and when you're trained well enough to be clear-headed. And my issue, you know, I'm calling from Chicago as a Chicagoan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how is it that police officers are trained, you know, to use this amazing force and this amazing privilege that they have, right, to be able to, you know, draw their weapons on people and do things that people in normal situations can't do. But yet 7 bullets in a sitting man's
it's
body.
It's crazy.
Right.
Right.
In the car with a child.
The cop's a wild man. I mean, he's out of control. He loses it completely. And there's no reason why, and I think, Mark, you touched on this earlier, or maybe it was one of the callers, but there's no reason why that this cop couldn't have unsheathed his taser and pulled that taser. And, you know, at least then, even if he'd used it, even if it was trigger happy on the taser, Philando would have come out of this alive, most likely, because, you know, some people will die of a heart attack during a tasering, but it's pretty rare. So it would have been much more likely that he would have come out of this with, you know, some little burn marks on him from the taser. Most cops are given non-lethal weapons like that.
I absolutely adore you all for saying this, because the hardest thing is being a black woman in this country, feeling that, like, so many white men don't have, you know, black people's interest at heart or justice. And for you all to be on this, it just makes my heart feel so good, because I have been so scared in so many situations for people who, you know, I see get pulled over. So honestly, I'm going to download this app. I'm going to be all on you, because I just love this conversation.
Well, Tony,
we'll disappoint you at some point. I assure you. At some point, we'll disappoint
you. We've been long-time critics of the police state in this country, and, you know, it affects everybody. It doesn't just affect – I mean, certainly it affects disproportionately black people. There's no doubt about that, and, well, you know, Hispanics and other, you know, colored folk, if you will.
I don't like
but,
to look at this from the standpoint
it affects
of,
everybody,
of somebody's ethnicity. What I see here –
Right. We didn't mention at any point during our discussion of this Philando's skin color. It was one of our callers who brought that up.
I know, and it makes me so happy, yeah. Right? Because that's what real justice is. Real justice is blind to all
sure.
of that. It takes all the information in. And so, yes, you may let me down, because everybody, every human does. But right now, y'all are some of my favorite people on this planet, and
all
I
right,
love
good.
You, and I pray for you. I hope everything turns
Thank
out
you.
Well in your life.
Thank you, Tony. And check out freetalklive.com. You can grab the archives there and listen to as much of this show as you like online. Again, freetalklive.com.
I most certainly will.
I thank
telling
you
everybody I know to do so.
Awesome. Thank you for the call tonight. Wow. I appreciate hearing from you. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. It is rare to hear on the radio, which is how she was listening. It's rare to hear from, you know, anybody who is critical of the police. Generally, those talk show hosts, you know, if you're a local host, you don't get any interviews from the police if you're critical of them, and they might even find reasons to pull you over.
I've got an article right here sitting in my show prep that says that concealed carry permit holders are less likely to commit a crime than police officers. And to me, what that says is that, look, if you want to make generalizations about people, Philando Castile was a concealed carry permit holder, and he went through all the steps. Did all the stuff, and
yeah.
died.
In some states, there's a lot of steps.
Yeah, died gurgling there in front of his child. Best I can tell, it's his child. I don't know. And it's really
horrifying.
Really
it's horrifying. It's just an absolutely terrible video. Even without the, you know, the actual close up of the shooting, just the audio of him dying and his last words. I mean, it's just
all he
it's horrendous.
Like, his last words are. I wasn't reaching. Like, he wants to communicate to this officer is the two things he says, right before and right after he's shot is that he's not trying to harm the officer.
Wasn't trying to put him in jeopardy in any way, shape, or form. And so here's the story that I definitely wanted to get to that is in relation to this from techdirt.com. Everything anyone has ever said about staying safe while interacting with the police is wrong. That citizens are told to comport themselves in complete obeisance just to just to avoid being beaten or shot by officers is itself bizarre, an insane inversion of the term public servant. But Philando Castile, who was shot 5 times and killed by now former officer Geronimo Yanez, played by all the rules, which looks suspiciously like the same instructions given to stay safe during an armed robbery.
Right.
It didn't matter.
Okay, so to point out, he did play by all the rules. Now, we've mentioned some of the sort of other steps one can take above and beyond, but no one can deny that Philando played by all the rules. Everything he did, every step of the way, was within the law. And there might be some steps that he could have taken in that circumstance, but
and that's what people can take away from this, is to be extra cautious in any situation that seems routine. It's just a pull over for this goes to show that any pullover, no matter how routine it seems as though it can it is. Oh, it's just a burnout brake light. There's no real risk here. Well, there was apparently the entire risk of his life at this burnout taillight. And that can be you. That can be me. That can be absolutely anybody else who's put into this situation with a cop who is trained to escalate or likely to escalate a situation from a plain old traffic stop into a killing. So this can happen to absolutely anybody. Castile didn't have a criminal record, by the way, or at least nothing on it that mattered. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to allow to own a weapon, much less obtain a permit to conceal the gun. Castile told Yanez, as the permit requires, that he had a concealed weapon. He tried to respond to an officer's, although, Mark, you've said this state does not require it. They're saying that it does. He tried
some do, some don't.
He tried to respond to the officer's demand for his ID, reaching into his pocket for both of those compliant efforts, he was killed. Castile's shooting might have gone unnoticed, washed into the jet stream of officer-involved killings that happen over 1,000 times a year in the United States alone. But his girlfriend, Diamond Reynolds, immediately live-streamed the aftermath via Facebook. Her boyfriend bled out while responding officers tried to figure out what to do, beyond call for more backup to handle a dead black man sitting in his own vehicle. We'll continue with this story and what the police did later that might surprise you.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. We're launching into the third hour of the program. As always, you can join us here toll-free. Take control of the airwaves. Bring up anything you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733 as we launch into the third hour here, Sunday edition. For those of you just tuning in, we've been talking about Philando Castile, the concealed carry permit holder who was shot to death by a trigger-happy cop. That cop now found not guilty by a jury.
I just don't like the term
manslaughter and two counts of reckless discharge.
Okay.
Sounds like a reckless discharge to me. I don't like the term trigger happy because the officer was clearly not happy. I just think the guy's unqualified. I don't think he went out that day thinking I'm going to shoot somebody and I can't wait. And I sincerely hope it's an ethnic minority. I think that he was scared. And just because he can't handle going up to a window of a car with a family in it, one of them is a concealed carry permit holder. And that to me just says he's unqualified, not trigger happy. Trigger happy sounds like somebody who just wants to go, yee-haw, boom, 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 boom. And like, I don't get that feel from it.
No, I mean, trigger happy.
It's your job to paint pictures with
words. The definition is ready to react violently, especially by shooting on the slightest provocation. I mean, that fits the definition. It doesn't necessarily mean you're happy about it, Mark, but I can understand why somebody might jump to that conclusion.
You paint pictures with words, and I'm just trying to help.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the story here. We'll get to your calls about whatever you want in a moment, but I did want to get this news out about what the police did after this situation to try to make themselves look better and to drag somebody else through the mud. In this case, it was Officer Geronimo Yanez who was the trigger puller in this case. But after the incident, they started to look into the victim's girlfriend, Diamond Reynolds. She was the one who did the live streaming to Facebook after the shooting. So that's where you see her boyfriend basically take his last breath on camera.
It's really awful.
It's pretty harrowing to watch the video after Yanez fired 7 bullets into the cab. This story from techdirt.com of the vehicle. Did officers finally remove the girlfriend's 4-year-old daughter? To win at killing citizens, you must start the spin immediately. Yanez spun his own, speaking to a lawyer less than 2 hours after killing Castile. Local law enforcement did the same thing.
That, documents, by the way, is a good idea.
Yep,
I mean,
documents obtained by Tony Webster show Special Agent Bill O'Donnell issued a warrant to Facebook for, quote, all information retained, unquote, by the company on Ms. Diamond Reynolds, Castile's girlfriend. This was to include all email sent or received by that account, as well as chat logs, which presumably means the content of private messages. The warrant also demands any communications that may have been deleted by Reynolds, as well as metadata on photos or videos uploaded to Facebook. It came accompanied with an indefinite gag order. Why would law enforcement want, much less need, information from the victim's girlfriend's Facebook account? It appears that officers were looking to justify the killing after the fact. The following sworn statement was contained in the affidavit, quote, "Your affiant is aware, through training and expertise, that individuals frequently call and or text messages to each other regarding criminal activity during and or after an event has occurred," unquote. This is warrant boilerplate, especially when it comes to obtaining information from accounts or devices. But this warrant should be considered anything but business as usual. It should be, but it isn't. This is the actual standard operating procedure after an officer kills someone. The department goes digging through its criminal records to find any reason at all to have killed the person and to buttress the claim that he feared for his safety, those excuses given by the officers so commonly that we see in these similar situations, awarding them points for effort based on information that they didn't have when they ended that person's life. So, meaning that this officer at this point in that scene had known enough to know that this person was a concealed carry permit holder, maybe or maybe he didn't know what sort of criminal history, which of course wasn't much of any, if any at all, that Belando had. Whether the officer knew that or not is another question. But if they could have dug through Diamond's profile, if they could have dug through, you know, their history and said, well, these were criminals, these were people who were untrustworthy, these were people who had committed, theft or violence.
Right? I mean,
but they couldn't find that. And so going on here, the awarding the points for effort. Okay. So when it comes to police shootings in America, there are no aggressors in uniform, only victims. Officer Yanez made his own excuses.
Right. I'd say that this is the department attempting to cover its butt.
Yeah.
This isn't the police officer. Like, the police officer didn't do this. The department.
No, he was on
suspension.
They're
like, oh my God, we're liable for this. Yeah. Now what? Well, now what do we do? Well, check out her Facebook account. We got to find out something about this lady.
So.
It's the same spirit that has people on the internet taking stills from Diamond's video and drawing red circles on it, saying, "Is this a gun?" Because they want to make it right, even if the officer didn't behave exactly the way he should have, exactly the way his training dictated that he should have.
Put the
blame on the
victim.
Killed somebody, but it serves the higher truth that the police are there working for us, and hey, he actually, these people were bad even though he didn't know it.
That's not the truth. That's their narrative. That's what they
want to spin as the truth. That's a better way to describe it.
So there's an excerpt here from Mr. Yanez's excuse, which is a real, this is golden. I don't know if y'all have heard this one yet, but this is his excuse for why he decided that Philando Castile had no respect for human life and he was so scared. Quote, this is from the cop who did the shooting. "I thought I was going to die. And I thought if he has the guts and the audacity to smoke marijuana in front of the 5-year-old girl and risk her lungs and risk her life by giving her secondhand smoke and the front seat passenger doing the same thing, then what care does he give about me?"
I've heard this accusation on the marijuana smoking. I want to know, what kind of proof do we have on that?
Well, it's plausible. Let's just say that.
Sure. It's quite possible that they were smoking marijuana. I don't like first. My first thought is when was the last time marijuana caused somebody to go murder crazy?
It doesn't happen.
Alcohol. I can see that one.
Yeah.
Maybe horse tranquilizers or something. OK. I've heard of PCP, that kind of thing. Yeah. But I've never, you don't hear
most people. Honest cops will tell you that anytime they, they're on a scene and they're dealing with somebody who is a pot smoker, that they've never really been in any way put in jeopardy or feared for their life. Most cops would tell you that if they were being honest. Following his testimony's logic, writes TechDirt.com, smoking pot in front of a child has so severely damaged Castile's moral compass, he apparently would have thought nothing about shooting an officer over a non-functioning taillight. There's no logical boundary that cops won't cross to pin the blame on the dead. Hence, well, the Facebook warrant to dig up dirt on his girlfriend in
the
hopes
the police officer didn't know what kind of warrants Philando might have had at that point. Like, he didn't
have the ID at that point. He hadn't run the check. But anyway, the point here is that there's no logical boundary the cops won't cross to pin the blame on the dead, hence the Facebook warrant to dig up dirt on his girlfriend in hopes of adding a bit more post-facto righteousness to the shoot. The only upside, and it's an incredibly small one given the surrounding circumstances, is that Facebook refused to hand over the information on the grounds that the indefinite gag order was unconstitutional. Faced with this pushback, Minnesota police withdrew the warrant. But in the end, Yanez was acquitted, and Philando Castile is still dead, a man who did nothing more than try to comply with an officer's orders. So there you go. There's the update in that case.
So I want to know, do I hate police officers because I think that it was duplicitous and, you know, gross that this police department would send Facebook a, you know, like a subpoena trying to get information on this woman whom they didn't charge, you know, with anything, that there's no evidence that I can tell that she was particularly guilty of anything. Do I again hate police officers? Because this is the charge that keeps being leveled at us. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that way.
I don't hate the police.
As a fireman,
I find a lot of them likable.
As a fireman, I work with police officers. I don't, like, wait till they turn around and stab them in the neck or something.
No.
I mean, this is... It seems like a real reach that I want. I do a radio program about government accountability. Police officers work for the government. I would like them to be accountable. Asking a government bureaucrat to be accountable is not hate.
What a pleasant surprise to see Facebook actually rebuffed this warrant. I didn't expect that part of the story, so kudos to Facebook for getting it right once. 855-450-FREE. They're still evil. Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll-free here at 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Skype in at Skype username lrn.fm. Healthcare, pretty messed up in the United States, and you can expect it's going to continue being messed up as long as the government is running most of it, which is pretty much the case.
They're paying for it, at least.
Yeah, they're paying for a whole bunch of it, which means they control it, and they control a lot, which means the prices are crazy and... Man, trying to shove insurance down everybody's throat. But you don't have to have insurance. There is a company that can give you freedom from insurance, and that is HealthExcellenceSelect.com. You go there, and they'll give you a proactive health assessment daily, no charge, 24-hour access to doctors, including traditional integrative chiropractic, acupuncture, and massage. They've also got a medical information card you can give to EMS, first responders, the emergency room, and more. You'll love the service and the price. Just head on over to HealthExcellenceSelect.com. That's HealthExcellenceSelect.com. We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts here, but Mark, you did have one other thing to add since we're still on the Philando Castile topic. You had an excerpt from a statement from the prosecutor, the person who brought the charges against Officer Yanez in this particular case, which ultimately, unfortunately, not a single one of them apparently stuck with this jury. But what was it that the prosecutor had to say about this that you wanted to share?
This prosecutor Choi, basically in a press conference, you know, was pointing out some facts that caused him to bring the charges.
Right, because usually, you know, cops don't get charges brought against them when they shoot and kill somebody. It's, you know.
Right. So his the officer's partner, Kuzner, was standing at the car's passenger window during the shooting. It didn't
sure
touch
was.
Or remove his gun from the holster.
Right, he didn't feel threatened.
There was another officer there
right.
who had another vantage point that at no point felt the necessity to pull a gun, or, let alone fire it.
Correct.
And Yanez stated that he did not know where Castile. So Yanez, the officer that shot Philando here, said he did not know where Castile's gun was. To me, that's the most
damning
part of this here, right? Like, it's one thing to hold a gun on somebody who's reaching around or whatever. It's another thing to pull the trigger. And, you know, like, that's the problem when you pull a gun is that it's a real short trip from holding a gun onto someone and shooting them.
In this case, he didn't hold the gun for any moment of time. It was pull and fire.
Right.
Pull and fire 5, 6, 7 times.
Choi also noted that Philando Castile was not resisting or fleeing, There was absolutely no criminal intent exhibited by Castile throughout this encounter.
You couldn't ask for a more obedient sort of, you know, police encounter.
He was respectful and compliant based on the instructions and orders that he was given.
Right. He wasn't muttering effing pig under his breath or anything like that.
He volunteered in good faith that he had a firearm beyond what the law requires.
That's true. In what state was it?
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yep. He emphatically stated that he wasn't pulling it out.
That's right.
His move.
But the officer
at
was
at the point that he says he wasn't pulling it out. The officer had already decided to smoke him, though. Right.
Like, he was pulling a gun at that point. The officer was pulling the gun sort of outside his vision, likely sort of like just below the window of the, you know, the window level of the door.
Castile's movement was restricted by his own seatbelt. Let's not forget that that's legislated by law, the law that the officer was going to enforce. He was accompanied in his vehicle by a woman and a young child, just showing that he's less likely to use violence there. Just saying, Castile did not exhibit any intent, nor did he have any reason to shoot Officer Yanez. So that's sort of an after-the-fact thing. Yanez wouldn't necessarily know that, but it's unlikely that Castile was pulling a gun, and Yanez admitted he never saw a gun.
That's right.
In fact, his dying words were in protest that he wasn't reaching for his gun. So that's what caused the prosecutor to bring this charge, and I think that the charge of manslaughter is legit, and I believe the jury's their mindset was that of, well,
he's
officers deserve the benefit of the doubt. And I agree that officers deserve the benefit of the doubt, but so does everybody else at trial. And what we found out is that when officers go to trial, they are highly unlikely to be found guilty. Mm-hmm. However, when we go to trial, we are likely to be found guilty.
Yeah.
And I say that this is a societal epidemic of sort of state worship. Not because I hate officers or anything like that. It's just that why? Why is it that we believe that this class of people is better than us?
I don't believe that.
Well, I can tell you most Americans do.
They do, and it's a problem.
Furthermore, the judge and Officer Yanez are both on the same team. So,
true.
So the solution, I think, is nothing like expecting the judiciary to hold the police as accountable as they would hold us mundanes. The solution is for the police not to be special, is for them not to is for them to be providing a service just like the rest of us do for each other. The solution is for them to have to make the case for why you have to give them the money to pay for their services.
So what you're saying is the police should be funded consensually, that police should no longer be taxpayer funded.
Right. We get our we wouldn't want the government providing our food for us because we would starve. And yet something that is so vital to the advance of civilization, the protection of
services,
of our rights and our property, we, for some reason, believe that a monopoly is the best way to do it.
And we should know better than that. I mean, people should know. I mean, there's basics of, like, economics that monopolies are bad, right? Most people realize that. Monopoly is bad. There's a whole game. There's a game about it, you know? When you put one company in charge of whatever it is, that company is likely to give you poor service. When that company knows that you can't go somewhere else to get that service, that they have it, they got a lock on that thing.
Well, they have a lock on the funding. They're going to get paid to do whatever their job is.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm talking about a monopoly. You know, you need this service. They know you need it, and they know that you have to come to them, or you can move somewhere else.
You don't need the service. You can hire private. This is like public school. I can hire somebody to educate my child. I can hire somebody to protect me. I can have a bodyguard. I can have private security. I don't need their service.
What you cannot do is hire the public school system. You cannot not hire the local police.
You're making the point, Mark, that there are alternative protection systems out there for those who are willing to pay above and beyond what they're paying in taxes.
This guy didn't get a service. There was no service rendered here. No, in no way
was there a service provided to Philando Castile or any other American by Officer Yanez?
No doubt.
Well, Yanez was a liability from the moment he was hired, as evidenced by the fact that he shot a man going for the license and registration that he had seconds
before
asked for.
But the monopoly in this case doesn't have to worry about hiring
a
liability.
Monopoly. It's a cartel. Okay, so
they are a monopoly. You cannot provide the same exact services the police provide.
But
you can't do it or you'll be considered a gang.
But there are other organizations that can. The state police... The FBI could come in and you know, put sanctions on this particular police department.
They
won't, but they could.
That's true.
So it is not a monopoly by that definition. I just don't like using this terminology. If we're going to do it, let's do it right. This is a cartel that is force-funded and, in this case, provided no service.
Well, the defenders of them would say that they were providing the service of keeping the roads safe. You got to keep people with burnout brake lights off the road and possibly put bullets into them. And that's, you know,
well,
keeping us safe.
Yeah, it would be one thing if that was if that's what occurred, and it didn't.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. I think it's, you know, it's mincing terms to call this not a monopoly because ultimately they're all the state, all of those different bureaucracies that you cited as the cartel. I think they're both probably accurate, but more coming up here. Free Talk Live.
This is Riley Blake, producer of the Free Talk Live Daily Digest. In addition to the Digest, I host my own weekly podcast called Anarcho Agenda, providing you liberty-oriented content without all the statism. Subscribe to Anarcho Agenda on iTunes, Google Play, or visit anarchoagenda.libsyn.com. That's anarchoagenda.libsyn.com for further details.
It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free and join us here. The number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and Skype username is lrn.fm. Tonight in studio with you, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Mark.
Also, Mark, you've been very excited recently about Simbi.com. You've been using it to hire people to supplant me. You normally would come to me to have me, you know, cut some commercials for you now, but now all these other people are getting the gigs.
You're expensive. No, I mean, we need a variety of voices for ads here, and I found some real winners at Simbi.com. And what it is, it's a marketplace that you don't use money. They have their own currency there. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that you trade your talents and services with other people. And they have a currency of their own with the purpose that you're not just taking and not giving. You know, it's a way to sort of trade. And everybody can, you know, use this currency within their platform, which is really slick. It's a marketplace that's really awesome. And you can forget the old economy. It's your economy. Simbi.com. You won't believe the diversity of services they have there. Hundreds of thousands of people are acting in the symbiotic economy. Go get an account now at Simbi.com and take a look around and post your services. S-I-M-B-I, as in symbiotic. Simbi.com.
Let's go to the phones to the fun.
Symbiotic spelled with a Y?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Let's go to Scott. He's in Massachusetts. Scott the Bigot, go ahead with your thoughts.
Yes, good evening, Ian, Mark, and Johnny Ray. I'd like to say that Patriots Nation fans are a bunch of morons, and I'm going to tell you why. They cater Robert Kraft, who's become a billionaire, and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. They've become sports gods. And for those who are listeners who are outside of the New England area aren't familiar with Robert Kraft, he's a multi-billionaire who's made billions of dollars on the backs of these stupid Patriots Nation fans, selling them everything from sweatshirts to T-shirts to even lottery tickets from the Massachusetts.
But what makes
State
them
lottery.
Any different from any other sports fanatic?
Isn't that what happens? I mean, isn't what sports teams do?
Yeah. How's that different?
Well,
just
Patriots
there?
Are actually a very super successful team.
They
so
are.
That makes them their fans less stupid, I would think.
You think?
It used to be a time, gentlemen, when it used to be a sport. Now it's just a big giant business, and Robert Kraft, people who aren't familiar.
When was it not a business?
It's become basically an evil and greedy Jewish businessman.
What?
And it's
Jewish?
A lot
what?
More than that.
What?
Because I'm going to tell you why.
Where do we
Patriots
find the Jew in here?
Suck up to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. They put them all on
a pedestal.
Those
don't sound like Jewish people.
What's that?
Those don't sound like Jewish people to me.
No, I'm saying that Tom Brady, of course, the quarterback, and Bill Belichick aren't, but Robert Kraft is Jewish, owns it. And,
so
and
you're saying the owner of the...
You just hunt down everybody who's Jewish? How'd you know Robert Kraft was Jewish?
Why? You have to be a genius. You just look at him. You can see. But the point I'm making is that sports in this country is so sick and so out of control. Take LeBron James, for instance. Now, LeBron James can throw a basketball.
Okay.
Now, if LeBron James, he gets a $100 million contract. If LeBron James couldn't play basketball, what would he be doing? Picking cotton somewhere?
Get
How come
here.
A Harvard University professor makes $100,000 a year and LeBron James makes $100 million?
Because there's all different kinds of skills and services out there. You wouldn't expect the guy who...
You're just jealous,
yeah, you
Scott.
I'm going to tell you something.
Tell me something.
When you were talking about cops, I hate cops. And they deserve to get the little money that they do, because I agree with you on one thing, and I'll get back. They do absolutely go out of their way to persecute people. Absolutely. Now, that's not an opinion. That's a fact. Because I've seen it time and time again. They pulled me over, you know, over some cockamamie. I was going a few miles over the speed limit. So on that topic, I agree with you.
Let's get back into the sports thing here. It's more interesting to disagree. So let's get into the sports thing here. Why do you believe, leaving aside that the team's owner happens to be Jewish, allegedly, leaving that aside, okay?
That's a claim.
Well, I mean, I did pull up his Wikipedia page and it may be true. But anyway, regardless, not every sports team owner is Jewish, and all sports teams have fanatics. That's what fan is short for. Fanatics, people who are, you know, obsessed with that team. They will buy anything that has the team's logo on it if they can afford to do it. And even if they can't, they might go into debt in order to buy these things. They'll buy season tickets. They'll go obsessively, to the games. They're supporting the thing that is interesting to them. It's their hobby. It's the thing that they do for fun. And the marketplace values these players at a very, very high level. You know, you can't deny that's what the market is willing to pay these people. I think it's, you know, a lot of money. I don't personally put money into sports because I, you know, find it boring. But regardless, a lot of people are really into it. Why do you think that New England fans are somehow different? Isn't it just because you live there, so you're immersed in that particular culture, and so you're kind of disproportionately exposed to those fans?
Yes, it's true. New England fans, Boston fans, they're nut jobs. They'll do anything to support any of these teams, spend any amount of money, paint their faces, go, they're really imbeciles, they're morons.
But they all do that. They all do that.
It just sounds the country, I agree. Then all of America,
he's a very bitter man.
Sports, and they're sick and they're crazy.
All right, Scott.
And these owners, team owners, laugh all the way to the bank.
But if you went into the
$100 million contract, it used to be a sport. It used to be enjoyable. Now it's just
the only time it's a sport is, thank you for the call, Scott. The only time it's a sport is when people get together for the purpose of just playing a game of football and not selling things aside from it. As long as the National Football League has been in existence, it has been a business, has it not? I mean, I wasn't around when they started, but I suspect it's been about investing in a team, putting that team out there, having them play, and getting fans involved and getting them to spend all kinds of money on the team. That's what it's always been about. Well, I mean, was it ever this sort of fanciful idea that Scott had, where it's always just, where at some point it was just some men on a field playing a game when it was the NFL? I don't think so. It's about money, and that's right. Okay. It's business.
Scott is referencing a time in his life when he wasn't all wrapped up in people's ethnicities, and he enjoyed the game of football.
Mm.
Now the fact that a person that he has identified as Jewish owns a particular team that was probably his favorite.
And he's paying black men very well.
Yeah, where he comes from.
Scott's a bigot. He hates both blacks.
Upset
and
about that, too.
Jews.
I mean, all I hear is an embittered man who's had he's had a rough time of life.
Mm.
There's no doubt. He's trusted the wrong people, and things have gone
poorly
for him.
Still living at mom's house.
But I don't know about that. But
last we heard, she picked up the phone like 5 years ago.
Yeah,
and then he disappeared for a while.
I think she's quite ill. As I recall,
is that right?
His conversation at one point.
What do you think, Johnny Ray? I mean, you're from North Carolina originally. We're from Florida. I know that there were some fanatical Bucks fans down in Florida for many years. There were the years where the Bucks were terrible, and you know it was.
If you liked them, then you were fanatical.
It was cool to hate the Bucks back then, but at some point they became a very good team, and they won like what a couple Super Bowls or something like that.
And they got to the playoffs more than once.
Yeah, and so then people got pretty fanatical about the Bucks, and you started to see the pewter colors and the red,
pewter and red
everywhere, and
instead of the original creamsicle uniform. Yeah. Yeah.
What was it like in North Carolina, Johnny Ray? What's the team there? Is it the Panthers? What is it, North Carolina?
Well, North Carolina is all about college basketball.
Is that right?
Yeah. Carolina, Duke, Wake Forest.
Do people
ACC
paint their
basketball.
Faces?
Do
people
they
are putting their,
do, yes.
Their time and talent and bodies on the line for absolutely nothing. Just the opportunity to compete in the NBA.
Yeah, the hope of something.
We had
they might get some cheerleaders or something like that out of the deal.
Yeah.
Hartford, Connecticut's
groupies.
NHL franchise moved to North Carolina. They were the Hartford Whalers. They became the Carolina Hurricanes. They won a Stanley Cup, which I loved. That was very exciting for me.
Hmm.
And but I'm not really a sports fan.
Yeah.
I wish they would bring back the XFL. I thought that was a really interesting
idea.
Like
the WWE thing.
Yeah, the XFL, Vince you're allowed McMahon. To like spike the football and dance around the end zone. I mean, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah.
Hot cheerleaders
hot
and hot
cheerleaders,
outfits.
Right. Did you ever watch it? I always just heard about
it. No, I missed it.
Yeah.
I missed it.
It was there and it was gone. Yeah. It didn't last very long at all.
Clearly, I didn't have the commitment level either. I think I saw a game.
Hmm.
Or two or something, I don't know.
Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733. Now, the XFL, was it scripted like wrestling was?
No.
It was legit?
They wouldn't go for that.
They didn't have like angry teammates threatening one another on the side of the the sidelines or whatever, people attacking each other.
That would be
off
better.
The field. It would, yeah, might have made it work out.
Folding chairs.
There you go, more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, the live Sunday edition of the show. You can dial in toll-free here to bring up what you want. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Mark.
We've got Skype, and you can Skype in here. It's Skype username lrn.fm. If you like Free Talk Live and you appreciate the work that we do here talking about the ideas of liberty and peace and cryptocurrency on a 7-night-a-week live basis, you can, of course, listen online anytime at freetalklive.com, download archives, and more. Of course, get us on over 170 great radio stations from coast to coast. If you want to hear us on more radio stations, let's say 300 or 400 of them, it's possible. We just have to be able to effectively market the show, and the AMP program helps us do that. Also, we're looking into options as to what to do. We're going to be getting a proposal on some social networking work, possibly hiring somebody to help us with that. We're considering different options as far as what can we do to do a little bit more outreach on the internet, get more podcast listeners or people watching our live streams. So we've got some irons in the fire on that. And we'll reveal more of that over time. But for right now, you can go and check out the AMP program as it is. You can see some of the stuff we're spending the money on over at amp.freetalklive.com to help promote the ideas of freedom and liberty. If that's worth, let's say, $5 a month to you, you'll get perks, too. You'll get access to the AMP-only call-in lines, the AMP-only podcast, which doesn't have the regular commercials our normal podcast does, and more, like the AMP-only Facebook group, the AMP badge that you can get for the new Free Talk Live forum at forum.freetalklive.com. To get signed up for AMP, you can use Bitcoin or credit card or PayPal. Just go to AMP, A-M-P, amp.freetalklive.com. To the phones, to your calls and thoughts, we got Barry. He's in North Dakota. Barry, where in North Dakota are you tonight?
Well, I'm between Williston, North Dakota, and Minot, North Dakota. It's kind of in the center of where the oil field is, the Bakken oil field.
Okay, so you're listening to KTGO. Go ahead with your thoughts.
You know, I'm listening to, on this shooting, I'm sure that the guy made a mistake and he should have been convicted. But my real problem comes into, you know, somebody was talking last night. I've only listened to you for 2 nights. I haven't been on the road. Is that some of these people that are getting hired shouldn't be hired because they're not qualified to be hired, but they're forced to be hired because the law has changed. One of you said you were a firefighter.
I am.
I remember when you used to be one of the, where was a firefighter? I'm sure 30 years ago, the requirements to be a firefighter are much different than they are today.
I don't know. I wouldn't be able to answer that. The requirements for, I wouldn't be able to tell you what it
do you,
is.
Are yeah. you suggesting that the requirements are more or less stringent today?
Much less stringent.
Well, I can tell you there's different rules for women than there are for men, but in all likelihood, women wouldn't be sent to do the roles that men are in those circumstances. There's all kinds of different roles, you know, depending on what's necessary at a given time.
Well, yeah, but that's kind of my point, at least on the firefighter. I mean, do you want somebody that weighs 79 pounds trying to go pick up some guy that's 300 pounds?
No.
Or, I mean, that might be extreme, but now we've lowered the standards to so that, well, that person wouldn't qualify, but now they do qualify. And I think that's what's happening. And it's the same thing, I think, in the police and a lot of different things, is that we can't get be politically correct if we don't lower the standards.
I think you're right. I think that there's, you know, that's part of the issue is that the standards have been lowered.
It's been harder for them to find recruits as well. So that's one of the reasons why they're lowering standards, sort of like how the military was for a while under the Bush administration. It was getting harder for them to recruit people. So they were raising the bonuses and lowering the standards, letting in people with, you know, criminal convictions or drug use. And you're seeing the same things happen in some police departments where they're just so desperate to try to find new officers that they have to lower their standards. And the reason why it, or one of the reasons why that it's harder for them to find new officers is because people, you know, they've seen how bad a lot of the police have behaved. They don't want to be hated by their peer group. And ultimately, you know, young people know, a lot of them inherently, that the police are not their friends. And so when one of their friends goes and becomes a cop, that automatically puts them at sort of arm's length. And I don't think – I think there's some social pressures here.
Yeah, you're probably right there. But then also you look at, you know, certain areas of the country where who would want to be a police because of just the way the other people are, the criminals. I mean, you know, you talk about shootings in some of these cities.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know what I would do if I lived in some of them.
Yeah, some of these places are real war zones.
Like Chicago, the murder, all the murders.
Yeah, like Chicago would be a prime example.
Baltimore.
Yeah, and then you're like, one other comment on that guy that didn't like New England. He should live here in North Dakota where we got the Packer fans, the Viking fans, and Denver. Two of the three have won Super Bowls. I've been a Viking fan all my life, and I don't see any winnings anytime soon, but I guess that's just the way life goes.
What does it mean to be a fan? Does that mean that you stick with the team through good and bad, or are you like a fair-weather fan that you're only there when they're winning?
Well, I think you stay with them the whole time, regardless of whether they're winning or losing. You're just a true fan.
Because
you see a lot of fair-weather fans. You know, one team wins and all of a sudden, now we're all, what you call it, kind of fans, you know?
And it doesn't matter who's on the team, right?
I watch it for the enjoyment, not for, you know, whatever. If they don't win, that's fine, as long as the game was interesting, I guess.
It's the fun of watching it. Yeah.
Yeah, you sound like a Bucks fan.
They're all the same.
No, if you live here, you're close to Minnesota, so you got the Twins, which actually have done fairly well in history. But you got the Vikings, you got the Timberwolves. They couldn't win if they had to.
Because remember, it's always, you know, the team itself is different from who makes it up, right?
So like, what is there to like on a team? So like the people,
the colors,
on the team, right?
The
people,
the location,
the people on the team aren't from that location.
Most of them aren't. Yeah,
you know,
99% of them aren't.
Like in baseball, they're not even from the country in many cases. I don't even know what there is to like. And it's not to say that I don't like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I certainly do. I sit down and I watch them, but I don't know what it is that I like.
It has something to do with the area where you're from.
It's tribal in some way or another.
Yeah.
But
I think it's enjoyment. If you enjoy the game itself, it's just another way to participate. When you get old, like some of us, you can't do that anymore, so you kind of enjoy watching somebody else that can do it right.
I was never going to catch a football like Jerry Rice at my prime, I can assure you.
Hey, Barry, good call, man. Thanks for sharing with us tonight. I appreciate it. Drive safe out there.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Yes, sir. The toll-free number, if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733.
It really boils down to your favorite group of millionaires, you know? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I guess most of them do get paid pretty close to that, right? Some of them a few hundred thousand bucks a year or whatever.
Yeah, the kickers get pretty low. Did you see that there's a story out that there's a likely candidate for the first female NFL kicker?
No.
Yeah. I mean, there's a gal out there
for real?
That's really good, and she may very well get that position. Now remember, it's a 15-yard penalty for roughing the kicker. If you're the first guy that hits that woman, you're also going to have your name smeared across every, you know. I mean,
you can't touch a kicker?
But you have no business touching that kicker.
Interesting.
No business.
So they're like the safest person in all of football.
Right. And this lady can kick. She kicked a 43-yard field goal, I believe.
Wow, that's a long way.
It's a good one.
Isn't sometimes a kicker put upon to stop the pass returner or the kickoff returner?
Yeah, it's a rare circumstance.
Meaning if the person who receives the ball makes it past all the blockers, then the kicker's the last man standing. Yeah.
That happened to my pal Brennan McClure in Asheville High School football.
But he's in high school. Okay, yeah, that means that every other player didn't do their job. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they can teach her how to do a shoestring tackle. I mean, I don't know. I don't think she's got the body weight to do it, but, you know, she could still, in the right circumstance, get a hold of somebody.
So there's no rule in the NFL that they can't bring a woman in. There's just never been one who's been qualified.
Right. And I would love to see one that can do the job.
Yeah.
It would be really fun. It would be exciting to see.
Had a few NHL goalies, female NHL goalies.
Is that right?
Really?
I don't think there are any now, though.
Do they have teeth? Any of them?
Those masks are serious Jason Voorhees masks.
Can you...
Speaking
of Jason
Voorhees
masks was an upgrade from when they didn't wear them at all. Only wimps wear that crap.
Speaking of Voorhees, have you seen any of the video of this new, since we haven't done a Johnny Ray game of the week in a long time, I've been watching some videos online of the React channel of this new Friday the 13th game.
They have made
an amazing looking Friday the 13th game. Now, I've heard there might be some server issues with it, but they made a behind the third person perspective, so you're behind Jason and behind the camp counselors, and one person is Jason, and the rest of the team the people are on a team as the camp counselors, and they have to work together to try to stop Jason, who's like superhuman, right? Like he is.
Yeah, he's huge and strong.
Right, but he also has like superhuman abilities as well, so he can like know where the teens are.
You do not want to end up as the slutty girl. Or the black guy, because you're going down
or
first.
Or a drug user.
Yeah, down!
It's hard. It's very hard to kill Jason in this as the teenagers. You have to work together in order to even have a chance to put a stop to him. You've got to, like, collect car batteries and keys in order to even start a car to try to get off. Like, all the classic kind of horror movie tropes are worked into this game.
That sounds
and
great.
And it looks really good. They finally made a good Friday the 13th game.
Why don't any of these people have a gun?
Actually, Tommy Jarvis apparently shows up at some point if you do the right thing, and he gets one shot at Jason with a shotgun. So it looks pretty fun. Anyway, more Free Talk Live tomorrow. We'll see you online in the meantime. Ross Ulbricht was convicted in early 2015 of running the infamous Silk Road Underground Market. The Silk Road was a gift to humanity and helped reduce the harms brought on by drug prohibition. For this good deed, Ross has been sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. Now, an appeal is Ross's only chance, and he needs your support. Please visit FreeRoss.org, where you can contribute via various methods, including Bitcoin. Visit FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.